Holy Gospel for today is recorded in Luke, the 12th chapter, and I'm just going to read to you the first three verses. Jesus says to his disciples, "Have no fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth can destroy. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated for the next part here. And I'll invite you to get out your challenged and blessed insert that looks like this. It says, "Live what you already are" on the front. From Colossians today, Colossians 2. Our main theme for the day. And we're going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, which is the same version that's underneath your seats in the pews. But we're going to just read from 6 through 15 today. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him. When he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, he set it aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them." So, since you've already received Jesus Christ the Lord, Tony Campolo, who is a pretty well-known evangelist in the country, tells a story about a young boy, a young man evangelist, who went to the airport because he was zealous to convert people to Jesus, you know. And so he was going through the airport, and he stopped at some older man who was sleeping while he was waiting for his plane to arrive. And the kid stood in front of him and said, "Have you been saved?" And the guy just kind of was dazed. He was waking up, and he said, "I guess so. I think so." And this kid said, "Well, that's not good enough. When exactly were you saved?" And the old man is starting to wake up, and he's a wiser old man. And he says, "I don't know exactly, but I think it was 2,000 years ago." That's pretty good theology, isn't it? Darn right. We know we're saved not because of what we know or what we believe even or what we do or say, but because of what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago, that's been accomplished. And as one of our Bible study people said this week on Tuesday, it's taken care of. She said, "You know, all your sins have been forgiven. Your past sins, your present sins that you're still involved in, and your future sins even are already forgiven on the cross." That's kind of radical, isn't it? Just think of that. All your sins, even the ones you haven't committed yet, are nailed to the cross. Wow. All taken care of. In the gospel reading today, it said this: "Have no fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's all taken care of. So this Christian life that Paul is talking about here in Colossians in this chapter today is to simply live into what you have already received. To grow more and more into the saved life that is yours in Jesus Christ. and the life that Jesus died for you to have. You know, we have a swimming pool in our backyard. I just really appreciate that in this weather. But wouldn't it be crazy if you said, we have this swimming pool, it's really wonderful, but we never used it. Wouldn't that be crazy? No, we use it 5-6 times a day. What a gift. You use that. But sometimes people receive the gift of Jesus Christ, but they never use it. That's the journey of life we're talking about here. All right? Use it. Live in it. Make use of what you've already received. That simple. So why do we make it so complicated and difficult sometimes? At least I do. Earlier this week, a lot of people discuss the lessons during the week around here, by the way. The staff discusses the scripture passages for Sunday and has feedback, and then we have a pastor's Bible study on Tuesday. Clergy meet here and talk about it. And, you know, Tuesday was like, I'm all set. This is so simple. This is the easiest sermon to write. And as the week went on, it got harder and harder and harder and harder. I just could not get this thing together. And all the way until yesterday, you know, it was just awful. And it's like, what is wrong here, you know? I know what's wrong. I couldn't just let it be that simple. You know what I mean? I'm so used to living my life uphill. That's my pattern, you know? I'll take the toughest job, the hardest path, give me the toughest thing to do, and I'll do it. You know, that's how I've always lived my life. And I just kept trying to make this more complicated all week than it really is. When we moved to Texas, I was determined to change that pattern of always living uphill, you know. In fact, we're moving to the South. It's so mellow in the South, it's going to be easy, right? Well, I met with a call committee here the last time that we met before they decided to recommend me to you guys. And they said, well, what are you thinking? Where are you at with this place here? And as I studied and looked at everything, and boy, what a solid, positive congregation this is. And it just is. And I said to them, you know, I've always taken the tough job. This one doesn't seem as tough. Maybe it's time to swim downstream a little. Go with the flow of the stream for a change. Maybe that's what God's wanting me to do, right? So when we packed up and left Wisconsin, I thought, I'm leaving that behind me, you know, that upstream stuff. And, it seemed to follow me down here. And the pattern can just, dang it, it can still push me around sometimes. Maybe not as much as it used to, but more than I'd like. And, you know, Joyce Meyer, the TV evangelist, she says that this way, though. She says, you know, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. You guys better be grateful I'm not where I used to be. So all week, here I am, making this difficult, paddling upstream with this gospel message that's just too simple for even me to believe sometimes. At age 62, here I am still on this journey of learning to live in what I've already received, for heaven's sakes, in Jesus Christ. I remember 20 years ago, we'd gotten to the place where we had the resources where I could fulfill one of my lifelong dreams, which was to own a lake property and live on the lake in northern Wisconsin. But it was about 3 days before signing the paperwork, and I was feeling so guilty about this. I went to my men's group in the late 90s. A lot of men's groups were meeting, you know, the Iron Man stuff and all that, Iron John stuff. At any rate, this was a clergy group, and I said to them, you know, I'm just feeling kind of guilty about this whole thing. You know, there's people in our neighborhood, we lived in inner city Milwaukee, who just barely have a roof over their heads, and people who are living underneath the bridge, the 35th Street Bridge right near us. I feel so guilty about this, and I feel like I just don't deserve this. And, of course, you know what I was hoping to hear? Oh, Gary, no, you've worked so hard, you deserve this. You so deserve this. You really deserve this. You need this, and, you know, la, la, la. That's what I was looking for, right? Instead, this one guy says, you're right. You don't deserve it. I went, what? And he said, yeah, you don't deserve anything. I said, what? He said, that's right. You don't deserve all the good stuff that's happened in your life. Neither do you deserve all the tough stuff that's happened in your life. It's not about deserving. It's all gift. All gift. You know, those words just rang in my head for those 3 days. And by the day we went to sign that paperwork, I wasn't feeling guilty anymore. And those words were ringing in my head as we signed the paperwork for that lake place. It was, you don't deserve this. It's a gift. You don't deserve this. It's a gift. You don't deserve this. It's a gift. Already given all of life. Well, I don't know what it's hardest for you to receive from God in your life. Paul says, we have already received Jesus Christ, the foundation of our life, but we still get to grow in what that means and how it unfolds in all the different areas of our life. We get to grow into this reality, to build on that foundation till the day we die. And that's why with staff and many talented members around here, we've been developing this womb-to-tomb faith formation program in this congregation, right out of our mission and vision statements. Our goal, do you remember what our mission statement is? You can repeat it after me. Growing together in faith, centered in Christ, serving God's world with love. Dan, you were part of making this thing. Now, these words he probably has memorized. I'll see if anybody else does. This is the vision we have, to empower and equip each person to discover and deepen their relationship with God, with one another, and with God's world as a spirited expression of the love of Christ. Aren't those great words? Well, that's what we're about here, folks. And so that's why we're doing this thing. And you're going to hear more about it as we get into the fall and into the next year. If you will allow us to help you, 3 years from now, you will be a different person than you are today because you've allowed us to help you grow within this congregation. From Kim Dillon, our new nursery coordinator, that's going to be part of faith formation, even how parents and families are greeted and how children are dealt with in our nursery. That is going to be part of it. To Michelle McGuire, our KOK director, to Jennifer Rowe, you just heard from, with Children's Faith Formation, to Patrick, our new youth director, to Mark Ruck, Adult Faith Formation. Wow. And Pastor Jennifer, who was overseeing all them, and the many teachers and leaders of faith development here in this congregation, all here to help us grow into what is already ours in Christ, see? As an example of that kind of growing in what we've already received, I think of George Mitchell. Some of you maybe went to the memorial at the pavilion this week. An A&M graduate, isn't it nice to see A&M getting some positive press a little bit in the last couple of weeks? He made a fortune in the oil and gas industry with this fracking, refining this fracking process. Took him 20 years. People thought he was nuts, but he stuck with it and made a fortune. And look at the way he lived. His obituary said this: George Mitchell was raised as a child of meager means who throughout his life believed in giving back to the community that made his success possible and lending a hand to the less fortunate struggling to reach their potential. Look at what he's done with his fortune. The largest giver ever in all of history to Texas A&M. He gave the land in Galveston for that campus even. $1 billion he invested in the reviving of Galveston, his favorite, his birthplace. And look at what we live in here, the Woodlands, his vision for a planned community that sustains nature and allows people of all economic levels to live together. How cool is that? We get to do that here because of what he envisioned. That's pretty awesome. And the bulk of his estate going to charity. Now, that didn't just happen, you know. That came out of living a life rooted and built up along the way in what George Mitchell had already received in Jesus Christ. Another one. I'm amazed at my father-in-law, Tom Tompkins. Some of you have met him. He, as you maybe know, he nearly died a couple weeks ago. We went up there during vacation. And thanks for your prayers and support, by the way. It meant a lot to us. So we were driving up there to say our goodbyes a couple weeks ago on Thursday. Didn't know if he'd be there when we got there. And I stayed with him overnight, and you know what? He got better. And with his positive spirit, he believes he's going to go home. You know, he's going to get walking again and go home. Well, at any rate, I was with him Friday morning, and the doctor said his heart rate is 150. He can't live through the day. He will not last the day. And so he knew that, and we talked about it, and I said, Tom, what would you like to pray for today? And he said, I'd like to pray that I can appreciate everything that happens today and that I can be of service to someone. On the day of his death, that's his prayer. Isn't that something? Where does that come from? It comes from a life rooted in Jesus Christ and built up in Christ Jesus. And if you talk to Tom, you'd hear it from him. That's where his positive spirit comes from. And that faith development of his, it's just going to continue until the day he dies. You know, it really is simple. Much simpler than I was making it this week. You've already received Jesus Christ. Now just live your life in him. Rooted, built up, and established in the faith. It really is that simple.